Yo, what up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Hoop Chatter. As always, I got my boy Kevin Tarka and Rob McPherson with me, and we're here to talk some more basketball on, well, it's Sunday for us. I don't know what day this is dropping, but we're here to talk some basketball today on this beautiful Sunday. Rob, Tarka, how you guys doing, bro?
One day at a time, man.
One day at a time.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, we're still amidst this coronavirus pandemic. For those of you who are listening, maybe later, right now it is early April and we are still quarantined and confined to our homes. But what better way to connect with everybody than to talk some basketball over a podcast? So we're going to do things a little bit differently this episode. We're going to dive right in with, I guess, kind of this meme we saw on Instagram that intrigued us all. Tucker, what year were you born?
1990.
Rob, what are you, 91?
I'm 90, bro.
Oh, we are 90. Okay, 90s babies. 90 on the dot. So look, we got this meme here. Basically, it's one of those typical, which team would win in a 5-on-5? Team A, we got Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which now that I'm reading the names out loud, it's like, this is like getting me excited to kind of argue this. Team B, we got D-Wade, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Tim Duncan, and Shaquille O'Neal. So we're going to go around. We don't have to go around. Screw going around. We can, whatever you got to do to state your piece. But I don't know, yo, which team are you guys picking in a 5-on-5?
I'm taking team
A or team B?
Team B. Easy.
And why is that?
You got Kobe, Bron, and Shaq. What else you need?
All right, Tarka.
I'm going A for sure. I mean,
yo, I think I'm going A too, bro. Go ahead.
I'm actually surprised at how much that, you know, you know the way I usually go. I'm like, all right, well, I'll go A if this and B if this. But yeah, I'm obviously you got you know, some of the best basketball players in the entire world, top 10 on here. But the reason why I chose A is because, yes, LeBron James is an absolute monster. Kobe Bryant's one of the best of all time. But Michael Jordan and Larry Bird are absolute dogs that I'm scared of if I'm on the court with them, you know? Like,
yeah,
they are doing whatever they can to come at you, and they're going to win the game. Not that Kobe wouldn't. Not that LeBron wouldn't, for sure. And it's not just Jordan and Bird versus Kobe and LeBron. But I just think those five would
yo, bro,
the other five.
I said yesterday kind of similar. I was like, yo, Kobe and Bron are like, I think, the strongest points of team B, but I don't think they're that much stronger at their position than Jordan and Bird on the other team to kind of carry their squad. Because I know Olajuwon used to dog Shaq out, mm-hmm. and then Kareem is Kareem. And I don't know, Rob, you're getting quiet. I mean, yo, I think D-Wade like doesn't even really belong in this meme, if we're being quite honest. And that's just my opinion.
How does he belong in a meme? So if you take Wade out, who are you putting in that meme then?
There we go. You teed him up for it. You teed him up for it. He's been waiting all day for that question.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you take him out, who are you putting in?
Yeah, I mean, yo, I'm going AI. I'm going, I mean, you got Nash. You got, dog. I'm going to say, I think, now that I'm looking at this meme, it looks like people who contended in championships or won championship. Yeah, these are all championship winners.
Yep.
At each position, which is why there's no like true point guard. But even if we leave D Wade, but I just think he's a weak link in this meme. Well, like, I think he's the reason why A would win.
No. First off, you don't need a true point guard when you got LeBron on the team. LeBron can run the one, right? So then you got Kobe and you got Wade. Both can defend, two-way players. Okay. You got Tim Duncan, who's an absolute machine in this prime. I don't even think people realize how good Tim Duncan was between 2000 and 2010. Like, dude, arguably, everybody likes to say it's Kobe's era. There's an argument that obviously might have been the way they won championships in that dynasty. And then you have Shaq, the most dominant player that has ever touched a basketball court, just in terms of pure physicality and size. That Kareem, Olajuwon's shot a little bit, but Shaq put on some weight from the Magic days to the Laker days. His game transformed between that time. That's something Kareem never saw anybody like that. All right, like Shaq was just a 360.
See, this is why you throw me off though. As a LeBron fan, you talk stats often and all of that. Yo, Team A dominates in the stat perspective. Like Kareem, obviously all time leading scorer. You got. I'm not sold, and I agree with you on the D Wade piece or the fact that we don't need a, or B doesn't need a true point guard. I just think all around he's just the weakest player.
What is weak about his game though? Like, think about it. A guy that was drafted in 03.
No. I'm not saying weak, like weak to me and you. In this meme, who is the weakest player? How about you answer that? Who is D Wade better than in this meme? And Tarkan, you can chime in too, bro. Like,
I mean, I don't really like that question.
That's tough.
That's a tough question.
So I'm saying you're only as good as your weakest player. He's the weakest player in the whole meme. That team's gonna lose.
Nah, I don't see that, bro. I don't see that, because he'll do just enough for them to win. And I mean, you can't really look at it like that, like the weak. I mean, you got 10 Hall of Famers, right? Like,
go ahead, talk. No, what are you going to say?
Yeah, I'll agree with Rob's answer on that, because in today's game, it's not like everyone needs to reverse the ball and get two touches before someone scores. Like, shoot, D-Wade could probably sit in the corner and whoever's guarding him, you know, like, and not touch the ball on most possessions, and then it'll still be. It's not like he's going to change the game that much just simply because it's a one-on-one type game in the NBA today, you know. That's my argument for that. Obviously, I mean, I agree with you that teams as weak or as strong as your weakest player. But again, with these 10 guys, it's not like any of them are technically defined as weak. And then at the same time, like I said, it's not like he's going to be dominating the game with the ball in his hands. He could kind of hide, you know, other guys, you know, LeBron could come down as the point guard and then no one else touches the ball. And then they still score three or still score two. So I don't know. I will go both ways on that one.
Man, so I'll say like this, yo, if you're talking weakest link in terms of matchups, I would say Bird is the one that you need to be worried about on Team A.
He might get exposed defensively, but he was such
So it's the trade-off, right? Like, Bird's not guarding Kobe, Wade, or Bron. Like, he's not. No, he's not. With their primes and the way they play and that different stuff, he can't guard them defensively. Whereas if you got Wade, Kobe, Bron, they can switch on all three and guard all three. Yeah, Magic's a 6'9" point guard, but we got Kevin.
Yeah,
we got,
when you get technically into the game, like, yeah.
We got Kevin Durant.
You know that I'm going for Team B all day in regards to era and development of the game. I always think that the later player is always better than, like, the previous era just because of development of the game. So if you're talking actual technical who can guard who and style of play, some of these guys didn't have a three-point line when they were playing. Like, obviously, bro, like, I'm going Team B all day in that perspective, but – in regards to looking at this picture and biggest names versus smaller names, I'm going with Team A. But let's say majority rules and Team A wins based on me and Tarka. If we wanted Team B to win, bro, who are you swapping out on Team B? And this is, again, I know I attacked D-Wade earlier. This isn't an attacking D-Wade anymore. I genuinely want to know, like, if you took away the championship stipulation, like, all these guys won a championship, it looks like, right? Yeah, everybody won a championship. So if you took that away, what changes are you making to Team B to put them over the top?
I would say the only change I probably make would be adding in McGrady, Prime T-Mac. I would put Prime T-Mac in over Wade. That's the only person I would put. I would put Prime T-Mac. Because
I thought you was gonna say AI. You're not an AI guy.
I love AI, but for what we need, he's not needed. And I'm talking size. So you got a 6'8", 6'9" guy who's basically a carbon copy.
What about
Kobe,
you? I heard KD. I heard AI. I did not hear T Mac. I didn't expect that. Tarka, what you thinking, bro? Like, to put Team B over Team A?
Yeah. So Team B, I'd say the change that you can make is, I mean, if you have Tim Duncan and Shaq, I mean, you basically have two of the guys that are doing the same exact thing. You know, like, you got two monsters, right? They're obviously both great, but you don't need, for an all-star game, if you're going to expose someone else, you can substitute one of them to give you more threats offensively and versatile offense, right?
Okay.
So what if you put in Dirk?
Okay.
Not to put him over these guys. Because I'm sure both of you would not appreciate that comment.
Well, not Dirk got a ring. Dirk a dog, yeah,
he does.
Dirk.
You could argue, that's what I'm saying.
You could argue if Dirk had Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili his whole career and Pop. You could argue that Dirk might be there instead of
him. I mean, bro, you could argue that.
We're obviously talking about replacing You know, at the end of the day, a 17% three-point shooter and a 4.5% three-point shooter with Dirk Nowitzki. So,
right.
So, you know, that, I mean, that's the only change I'd make.
That's a good change. I like that. I mean, obviously, you guys heard my take. I would swap out Dwayne Wade for AI all day. I just think that because of B's athleticism and dynamic way of playing, right? A more recent style game. I think that if you added, not that D-Wade doesn't have that, but I think if you added an AI, which, like, you don't see anybody in that top row that can match up with AI. You see what I'm saying? So, like, he could potentially be an X factor. That's my opinion. The other swap out that I would do is what we talked about a little earlier. I talked about, like, a Steve Nash kind of player. Somebody who is literally out there simply to make everyone better. Someone that's going to make every single free throw, right? Someone that's going to hit every single open three, like an AI Jason Kidd style player in that D-Wade spot, which is the only reason why I attacked D-Wade in the first place, because if you look at Magic, Team A has that in Magic, but Magic is not that strong of a shooter, right? I think he was ahead of his time in regards to the way that he plays, but way behind the time in regards to the way Team B plays. Does that make sense?
It does. But that's also why I'm saying for Team B, like, you don't need that because you have LeBron. You have someone that will get everyone involved. You have someone that will manage the game. You have someone that can score at will and do whatever he wants to do, but still make sure his teammates get what they need to get done. So for Team B, like, you don't need that piece because you have LeBron. Team A needs that because you know what Jordan's going to do. You know what Bird does. Like, they don't have anyone that's going to kind of set that rhythm and pace. So, like, they need Magic or an Isaiah Thomas type of guy. Whereas B, if you have LeBron, you really don't need that traditional type person because he can do it.
So let's get into the value part of the podcast, because we tie everything into how you can listen to this podcast and become better as a player, regardless of the level that you're at. So what we're kind of saying, because I like the last part that you said, Rob, in regards to, like, LeBron's abilities. And basically, I was looking at this meme trying to create the best team of the best players, period. You two are approaching it kind of like really visualizing and simulating a 5-on-5 game and who's going to mesh the best and work better together for the sake of actually winning a game or a 7-game series, right? Which makes a lot of sense. So if you're a kid or any player and you're looking to put yourself in the best position to be successful in sports, right? So if you're in high school, you're talking about college. If you're in middle school, you're talking about high school, right? You want to get into that next level and you want to make a boom, right? What style, in regards to everything that we just talked about, because we keep... Basically, I want to know, man, like, from a facilitator perspective or outright dog scoring perspective, right, where can a player almost always fit in? A young player.
You can always play both ends of the floor. You can always play defense. You don't have to be, like, everybody's not going to be the most gifted scorer. Everyone's not going to be the best ball handler. Everyone's not going to be the best facilitator, but you can always play defense. So you got to be a two-way player, in my sense. Because you can work on getting better at shooting. I mean, look at Jason Kidd over time, right? Like, you can work on expanding your offensive package, but something you always can do no matter what is play defense. So I feel if you want to get ahead, you got to be able to do both things on the basketball court.
Now does playing defense, because I agree with that, because everybody in this meme is, for, you know, a two-way player for the most part, right? But does defense... Tark, I want to hear your part before I say what I'm going to say.
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, I think the moral of the question is, you know, how can you, you know, watch some of these guys and create, you know, kind of make your game look like their game or follow in their footsteps to, you know, to help you get to the highest level. And, you know, like Rob said, I think playing both sides of the ball is great. But, you know, I think you just have to double down on you. And instead of trying to be exactly like, you know, exactly like AI or exactly like Steve Nash, like, what are you good at? And we always talk about, you know, being great at one thing versus being okay at a lot of things. Like, yeah, you have to be able to play both sides of the ball, of course. But you know, even going back to the Nash versus AI conversation, and I was just doing a little lookup of the comparison of their stats. Like, obviously, they're a little bit different types of players where, you know, AI averaged almost near 30 points a game, and Steve Nash was about half that. But I think AI is going to go out and he's going to score and he's going to create for himself. He's going to razzle dazzle people. He's going to use his handle. He's going to go out there and get his 30 points. And Steve Nash is a little bit different in terms of the fact where he was creating for others always, right? With almost 9 assists a game, he was always creating for others. So, you don't have to be AI. You don't have to be Steve Nash. I would say look at one of the things that made those players great. And if you're good at it, then, you know, visualize how you can become as good as they are with that and double down on that skill that you have.
Yeah, I was going to say self-awareness because I know I came into this kind of with a A or B, like facilitator or, you know, AI Kyrie kind of player. But as we got to talking, I was like, man, you know, you can, there's millions of ways that you could fit in. I think it really comes down to knowing yourself as a player. So like, I remember growing up, I desperately wanted to be, Rasheed Wallace.
What?
I wanted to be
I was okay.
Well, look, because I was. Well, listen, hold on, because I'm 30, so there was a long era of growing up, right? Right. So there was like a 2 or 3 year span. I wanted to be Rasheed because, basically, bro, when I was younger, they would just stick me down low, like the 4 or 5. But like Rasheed could stretch, hit the shot. Like, he kind of could dribble. So I'm like, I want to be like that guy. Now, obviously, as I grew up and got more coordinated, I felt like my body type matched Kobe and I kind of transitioned and all that. But my point in saying that is like, bro, I picked Rasheed Wallace just because I picked Rasheed Wallace. There was zero self-awareness in me picking Rasheed Wallace. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't, and mind you, I was mad young, but I wasn't like intentional about studying myself, my body, my game, and then choosing, you know, who I most naturally played like, and then buying into that player. Does that make sense? Right? Like, I don't think people are really paying that much attention, or not people, really kids, right, at a young age aren't paying attention to how they play naturally, right? They're making a choice and then almost, you could say, forcing it. I mean, like, am I making sense?
100%.
Yep.
How were you as a kid, Rob?
Man, as a kid, I honestly had a late growth spurt. I was short, bro. So I only way I could get on the floor being able to shoot. So I was looking at Reggie Miller and Ray Allen and them type of guys just want to be a knockdown shooter. And it wasn't until probably my junior, senior year of high school, I really grew from like 6 foot to about 6'4", 6'5". And then it's like, all right, you know, who are some bigger guys that I really like, really, you know, kind of wanted to emulate. And that's why I kind of fell in love with Wade. Just his overall game, you know, just slash, finish at the rim, mid-range game. I really fell in love with that. So, I mean, a lot of it, like you said, is self-awareness. And it's all about, I think, also just mentality, right? Like, you, as a kid, man, you're going to do what you need to do to get on the floor, right? Like, sometimes it's nice to have these big thoughts on, like, oh, I'm trying to do this just like Kobe. I'm trying to do this like Rasheed Wallace or Wade or AI or Ray Allen, right? But it's kind of small when you really look at it from that lens, because in that time, you're just thinking about, what do I need to do to get on the floor for my middle school
yeah,
team,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Or my AAU team or the high school. Like, what, you know, coach said I need to work on this, so I'm gonna work on this. You know what I mean? So I think it's more so at that point, man, like, you can have those dreams and things like that, or people you see, but it's more so, I think, just mentality of, all right, what do I need to do to get on the floor? How can I be the best version of myself? And then going from there.
That's a fact. It's almost like a superpower too, bro, because like you just said, you kind of experienced a growth spur and you kind of switched up in high school, right? I think the younger that a player can start being self-aware, or even if parents can like really preach that self-awareness piece and kind of, I'm not like anti-coaching, but I'll tell a kid straight up, like, yo, your coach doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, you know what I mean? He's just trying to, he's worried about this season only. He's not worried about you as a player. You need to focus on you. It's almost a superpower to be self-aware as a kid. Like, that's something I think that should be taught, like, early, studying yourself on film. And I'm not even talking about game film. I'm talking about
record your workouts, man. Like, a lot of my NBA friends record their workouts and then study their workouts. You know what I mean? Like, these are like things that I think kids could be doing now to set themselves apart. Because like you said, everybody's walking in the gym and figuring out, how do I stand out right now? Oh my God, how do I stand out? How do I get a spot right now? How do I impress the coach right now? Right? It's not like this grand scheme of like, how do I become the best player I could possibly be? Right? You're losing that now. It's like, you know, there's so many teams you're trying out for, and the basketball's all year round now. You know what I mean? It's like a constant pressure of almost like impressing or fitting in.
I mean, part of that, yo, with that self-awareness is, like, a lot of parents got to realize, yo, you're not going to have – every kid's not going to be the next Kobe or LeBron, bro. Like, some of that self-awareness, like, parents need to realize, like, yo, you know, your kid could play scholarship ball, but, I mean, he's not going to be the next coming of Zion. You know what I'm saying? Like, and no one, I feel like, wants to be –
your kid might be a JUCO All-American. You know, he might be a JUCO sixth man at the community college around the corner.
Nothing wrong with
great.
If I had a dollar every time I had to have that conversation.
There's nothing wrong with that. But I think, you know, what a lot of people don't realize with basketball or any elite level youth sport, man, is you got to be honest. You gotta tell it like it is, because all that does is just set up kids for failure down the road.
Yo,
absolutely. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask you, Tucker, who do you want to be? I think I remember, but who is your player you wanted to emulate growing up?
I mean, there was definitely a couple of them. I think like when I was young, I was just like wanted to be like Jason Williams.
Yes.
Like, just have that ball on a string and do whatever I wanted with it, and like I had to. Because I was small, you know, like I wasn't even going into into high school. I'd barely even gotten to 5 foot. Like, I was tiny, right? So I had to, I had to differentiate myself. And when I had the ball in my hands, if I didn't have it on a string, then someone was going to take it from me, right? So, I mean, Jason Williams was really just the guy that came to mind. And then obviously as I continued to add parts to my game, you know, other players came up.
I think you succeeded at the Jason Williams piece, though. If you guys
appreciate it, man.
Me and Tarka were on the same AAU team in eighth grade. It's through like 10th grade. And Tarka was definitely the little white boy with the handle. You weren't going to steal it. He wasn't going to turn it over.
My shot was broken at that time.
It was broke, but he shot it with such confidence that, like, nobody was ever mad when he shot a three. You know what I mean? It was like, Tarka shot it, bro. That, like, box out. But if he makes it, we all gonna go crazy, because it was like, big shot Tarka. Oh, man. So anyway, guys, go ahead, bro. You had a point you were going to make before.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like as we wrap up here, because I know we're getting to the time, but what Rob said kind of is a perfect ending point. And you know, the way that kids are kind of, you know, trying to get to the highest level and trying to be the next Kobe Bryant, the next Jason Williams. But how about you be the first you know? And to that point, you know, I think too many kids in middle school and high school are told that if they don't get that scholarship, they're a failure, right?
Soundbite.
But this goes even higher. Too many guys in college, I don't care what level, are told that if you're not a pro, you're a failure. It's like, it's so far from the truth. So I just wanted to end on that point, because, you know, kind of to bring it full circle and give some extra value to everyone listening to this, you can try and emulate who you want to be, you know, for your entire childhood. But if you're not aware and real with yourself on what you want to do in the future outside of basketball, then it's going to be a moot point.
Factual, man. No, that's a great point to end on. I'm screaming soundbite, because we're definitely clipping that up and shooting that out to as many people as we can. That's very powerful, Rob. Your points too, man. I appreciate you guys hopping on today as usual. I wanted to come up with what did we do last time in closing? I forgot what it was. It was super dope.
I forgot too, because we've done a couple things.
Yeah, we keep switching it up. I want to come up with a template.
How about for this one, we just end on that nice soundbite?
We're going to end on that nice soundbite. Guys, Art Morrison III here, Rob McPherson, Kevin Tarka. This is Hoop Chatter. We appreciate you guys coming and chatting with us. Catch you next time. Peace.